for those visitors and citizens who are participating in this meeting this evening, welcome to the October 6th, 2014 meeting of the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. As always, we will open our meeting with a pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. If there are any citizens out there who plan to testify at this hearing coming up, there are some cards out in the lobby, and if you could fill those out and bring them up here. If you're just here to visit, that's fine as well. Or you can change your mind later. I'll call for cards later too. So it's just your opportunity to think about it. Okay, the first item on our agenda is a public land use hearing legislative matter, which is defined as a text amendment to the Josephine County Comprehensive Plan, providing for an updated coordinated population forecast to 2050 for the county and the cities of Grants Pass and Cave Junction. The population forecast was prepared by the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis, and the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners on this proposed text amendment to the comprehensive plan. And I will bear with me here. I have to read some official matters here that need to be read into the record as part of the official hearing. And I just happen to think, before I do this, I want to take the roll call and see who's here. I always forget that. So we will would you call the roll, please?
Sure. Commissioner Church?
Here.
Commissioner DeSimone?
Here.
Commissioner Glenn?
Here.
Commissioner Goodwin?
Here.
Commissioner Ockenden?
Here.
Commissioner Wright?
Present.
Commissioner Richardson?
Here.
Commissioner Gardner?
Not here. So that being the case, I think we're all here and we have a quorum. Okay? Okay, I'll read this information now. At this time, I will open the public hearing of the Rural Planning Commission to consider file 14-405008.A.1, an amendment to the Josephine County Coordinated Population Forecast, more specifically described in the agenda, the staff report, and the proposed amendment. The hearing will be held in accordance with the legislative hearing procedures in the Josephine County Rural Land Development Ordinance. We will begin the hearing with a staff report, followed by public comment, and then public comment portion of the hearing will be closed, and the items will be discussed and acted upon by the Planning Commission. The time limits for testimony it's defined in the Rural Land Use Development Code as 5 minutes per person if you would like to speak. The Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners, who will make the decision. Is there anyone present who wishes to challenge the authority of the Rural Planning Commission to consider this matter? Okay, there are no objections. Do any of the commissioners wish to abstain from participating in this hearing or declare a conflict of interest or potential conflict of interest? Okay, seeing none, we will move on. This is a legislative action, not a quasi-judicial, so ex-parte contact is not applicable. The recommendation must be consistent with the applicable criteria, which are noted in the staff report. In this hearing, the decision will be based upon specific criteria. All testimony and evidence should be directed toward those criteria. In accordance with state law, this decision will be submitted to the Department of Land Conservation and Development in a manner of the periodic review. Therefore, the decision is not appealable to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Instead, persons who participated at the local level orally or in writing during the local process leading to the final decision may object to the city's work task submittal by filing an objection with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. To be valid, objections must, A, be in writing and filed with the Department of Land Conservation and Development's Salem office no later than 21 days from the date of the decision notice, the date the decision notice was mailed by the county or the city. B, clearly identify an alleged deficiency in the work task sufficiently to identify the relevant section of the final decision and the statute, goal, or administrative rule the task submittal is alleged to have violated. C, suggest specific revisions that would resolve the objections, and D, demonstrate that the objecting party participated at the local level orally or in writing during the local process. Failure to raise an issue or objection with enough detail to afford the Planning Commission or the Board of County Commissioners an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude a valid objection. So, with that being said, we can move on to the hearing with the start by the staff report by Mr. Lewis, our planning director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to start out with just a couple minor corrections here. The notice we sent out indicated the population forecast was prepared by the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis. That is partially true. They prepared the population projection for the county as a whole, but the division of the population by urban area, Grants Pass and Cave Junction, was done by local staff. Minor notation there. The other thing is in the staff report I referred to the need to have a 50-year population projection in order to get into the business of establishing urban reserves. Actually, it's just a population projection out to 2050. So with those two minor corrections noted in both the notice and the staff report. As you indicated, this is a legislative action. This would be a text amendment to the county's comprehensive plan. The last population projection that we dealt with was in 2008. So we're now 6 years later here. We've got an updated population projection, as I noted in the staff report. The other driving factor is that the city of Grants Pass wants to establish urban reserve areas in its urban growth planning process. And in order to do that, they need a longer range forecast. The forecast that we adopted for countywide was to, I believe, 2027, the last one, and didn't go out far enough. So there's a couple of reasons to go ahead with amending the countywide forecast. Tom Schauer is here from the city of Grants Pass. Tom has been actively involved in the urban growth planning process here since 2006 and knows the population forecast business inside and out. The Exhibit A is the population forecast, and what we would be recommending adoption as an addendum to the county comprehensive plan. It goes through the OEA countywide forecast and then talks about the methodology, how to break that down into urban areas, to the urban areas. The Grants Pass methodology is basically a share percentage and a growing share percentage over the forecast period of time. I think that's probably, the other thing I should talk about is the division of labor here. Urban Area Planning Commission is dealing with a number of other items, specifically the urban growth boundary, the urban reserves. It's been determined that they have sufficient jurisdiction responsibility for those items because we have both city and county representatives on the Urban Area Planning Commission. The Rural Planning Commission needs to deal with this item specifically because we're dealing with a countywide population forecast, and we are the appropriate jurisdiction to deal with the full county. This would be a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners. I think attachment or Exhibit C gives you a full rundown on the number of public presentations. There is a November the 12th joint hearing before the Board of Commissioners and the Grants Pass City Council to hopefully take final action on the whole package, not just the population forecast, but the land needs forecast, the location of the boundary, specific changes to the Grants Pass conference. So if there are no specific questions at this time of me, I would let you go ahead and hear from the public on this matter. And as I said, Tom's here to answer specific questions about the methodology and the forecast. And, I'll do what I can do.
Are there any questions from the commissioners for Mr. Lewis? Okay. Hearing none, I guess we'll move on to the next phase. The next phase, and I don't think we have any, but it's an opportunity for participants. This is not the public, but I guess other staff or agency people to speak. Are there any participants? Okay, hearing none. We would move on to the comments from the public. As I mentioned in my opening statement, comments from the public are limited to 5 minutes, although I do have the authority to grant additional time if that is needed. So I don't have any cards up here, so are there any members of the public here at the hearing who would like to testify or submit written testimony to the Planning Commission? Sir, I think you indicated you had some written testimony to submit. Maybe if you could come up and just give your name and address for the record and then submit the testimony to Ms. Older, our secretary up there, that would be great.
My name is Mark Abernathy. My parents, Don and Amy, own property at 300 Northwest City, and they are opposed to the urban growth to taking them into city limits. And my next door neighbor is Helen McCall, and she's both my parents and my neighbor have debilitating health, so they couldn't make it.
Sure.
And both of them have written letters opposing the taking moving the boundaries.
Okay. And we're here only tonight to adopt a text amendment on population projection, but you certainly are welcome to submit those letters to our secretary over there, and we'll give them consideration.
All right.
If you would like to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Shire, do you have something you'd like to say?
I'd just like to clarify that if there is testimony that pertains to the Urban Area Planning Commission hearing, which is on Wednesday, that there's an opportunity to speak or provide written testimony of that as well. And if I can, after the meeting this evening, get copies of that written testimony, I'll make sure that gets into the record.
I'm sure we can share that with you without any problem.
Yeah, make sure that gets to the Urban Area Planning Commission.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public who would like to testify or offer comments regarding this text amendment to the comprehensive plan? Okay. Seeing none, then I'm going to close the public testimony portion of this hearing, and we will move into deliberation by the Planning Commission. So, Planning Commission, comments, questions of staff? Feel free.
I'm not sure if that really has any bearing on this, but I'm just not entirely clear on the difference between the urban reserve and the urban growth boundary. Someone could clarify that.
If you'd like, I'd be happy to answer any questions now, or if you want to have any further discussion after this, I'd be happy to stay and answer questions on that too, however you'd like to do that. But the essentially, the urban growth boundary is the area that's planned for the next 20-year period under state law, and it can't be more or less than the 20-year period. The urban reserves are a provision that state law allows for to basically first priority where you grow your urban growth boundary would grow into after there's a need to expand it again in the future. And state law specifies it must be a minimum of 10 years and no more than additional 30 years beyond the urban growth boundary. So, and there are proposed management agreements for the urban reserve and the UGB expansion areas that specify the management of that. There's some provisions of the state law that set mandatory provisions, and there's others that are discretionary. Essentially, then those would be the urban reserves would continue to retain their rural zoning until there was a need to bring them into the UGB, and they would be managed basically by just the county as they have been, with some coordination with this little higher level coordination with the city.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe before we move into some sort of motion, that maybe I'll just go down the row here and the commissioners can offer any comments or suggestions they have regarding towards a motion of adopting this text amendment. Mr. DeSimone, I'm going to pick on you first because you're down at that end. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, not today.
Okay. Mr. Ockenden?
Still looking.
We can come back to you. Is it a good one?
I don't really have any comment. I read the material and having certainly no personal expertise in this area, everything seems in order. And although I understand that the commissioners, the Board of County Commissioners, has already decided to approve this, so this is even more of a formality than anything else. Therefore, I don't think have anything to say.
Mr. Glenn?
We should just go with the staff recommendation for approval of that text amendment.
Ms. Richardson?
I support it. It's interesting reading for a lot of things what it says about how Grants Pass is the economic engine for the county and how everybody comes in to where they go to work and all these other interesting things. I thought it was fascinating.
It was very well done. Mr.
Wright? I was the alternate on the committee working on this, so I'm pretty up to speed, kind of been involved the whole process, and I say we move forward.
Myself, I, not having a lot of expertise in population planning, I used to be involved in school population planning in a former life, and what I do know is that, you know, it's a best guess, as all projections are. May not be perfect, but you have to rely on the experts to come up with some sort of conclusion and hope that their methodologies are appropriate. One thing I was interested in was the fact that I think within 10 miles of Grants Pass, 85% of the population of Josephine County lives within 10 miles of Grants Pass or something like that. I thought that was kind of interesting. So I'm supportive of this text amendment. I don't see any downside to it. I'm not sure I see a great upside, but I think it's appropriate and it's required by law, so to keep our plan updated. That's Ryan. Do I hear a motion? Oh, Ward, I'm sorry. Thank you, Ron. I didn't get back to you.
I took over every single page.
Yeah, I'm good.
You want to see the size of my binder?
Mr. Glenn, go ahead.
As indicated in the staff recommendation, I move that the comprehensive plan text amendment or an updated county coordinated population forecast be approved as submitted and listed in Exhibit A.
I second that motion.
Moved by Mr. Glenn, seconded by Mr. DeSimone.
Do we have to incorporate the corrections that David mentioned at the very beginning?
No, that, that was actually a correction to the notice into the staff report, so it's not in the exhibit.
Okay. All in favor of the motion? Oh, is there any discussion on the motion now that it's been moved and seconded? I'm sorry, you're right. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, please signify by raising your right hand. It's unanimous. So, motion is approved to adopt this text amendment, excuse me, to recommend to the Board of County Commissioners to adopt this text amendment in the comprehensive plan. So, thank you. Okay, next item on our agenda is matters from the Planning Commission. Do any of the commissioners have something they would like to get off their chest or to offer to Mr. Lewis and the staff? Mr. Ogden.
Since we seem to have a lot of idle time on our hands, the Planning Commission today, we haven't met very often this year. But, you know, we need to start focusing on bringing businesses to Josephine County, start some prosperity in this town. We are the Planning Commission, and we can do it here on this board, I think, to start looking at ways to do it. I mean, you look around, our town is dying. Businesses are closing. It's not prosperity. We need to turn that around. So the way to turn that around is to make this a business-friendly community. It's not. Businesses do not want to come here. They do not want to go through the red tape and the bureaucracy that they have to go through to open up a business here. So we must, I think it's imperative that we do something about that. And if we need to start meeting on a regular basis to start getting some ideas and maybe forming some steering committees and some, you know, getting some people interested in fixing this problem, because we need to do it. Our town is dying. And we have to do something, or it is going to be a ghost town, and it's not going to be a place that anybody wants to live. So I think that's imperative. I think that's one of the, you know, main focuses we need to get onto. And I would like to make a motion or make a proposal that we start something going on this. So,
any other comments? So regarding Mr. Ms. Richardson.
The city is one issue, but I think maybe we ought to talk about the Maryland Industrial Center. If you want to talk about it, I believe they have some sewer issues that need to be resolved. There's also some issues back and forth that maybe we ought to be looking at some of those areas beyond the city too, or partnering in some fashion to help those other areas. Because the Maryland Industrial Park is really deserving. That's a place that has jobs that are nice semi-industrial jobs, and those are family wage, and we need to support them too, in addition to just what's happening inside the city. There may also be some things in Cave Junction, like Rough and Ready Lumber and some of their support, and I think we can't just focus on the city of Grants Pass. They've got lots of folks to do that. We need to be looking at elsewhere in the county.
So they have their own urban planning commission, so that's not really our business.
Exactly.
We have nothing to do with the city.
But I'm just thinking that we could be looking at, and I think I was at a planning seminar with Deschutes County where they put on a series of tours and show and tells that they were partnering with all of the communities in Deschutes County, because they said if they brought in business in Cave Junction, literally Grants Pass would benefit. If they brought in business to Merlin, somebody might opt to live in Cave Junction. That businesses brought into the county helped everybody. So I think we ought to be focusing on countywide, not just whatever's happening in the city.
Ms. Goodwin?
Regarding what Commissioner Ockenden said, we actually did, a couple of years ago, have a land development advisory committee whose job was to come up with recommendations for how we can amend the development code to make it more friendly to business development, and we came up with a number of recommendations. I was on the Land Development Advisory Committee, so was Commissioner Wright. Some of those recommendations we did actually bring before the commission. It was a year ago, 2 years ago, and they went to the they after going through subcommittees for some of them and having, you know, I was spending a great deal of time on the planning commission, they were submitted to the board of county commissioners and tabled. And then there was at least one of them that was going to be scheduled for a hearing at the planning commission, and that got tabled. And I think that considering all the people that spent so much time on those, and these are people from all across the board who really spent a lot of time working together to collaborate and come up with solutions that were satisfactory to people with very different perspectives. And I think that in the interest of what the board said just now, Commissioner Ockenden, it would make a lot of sense to look at some of those recommendations first, find out why the Board of Commissioners tabled them after all the work we put into them and the Land Development Commission put into them, and see if some of those can be can get some action on them.
Mr. Wright?
One of the things that's real critical, and it happened on the RLDC board, is, and without naming names or anything, it kind of went sideways and became a personal agenda instead of a county agenda. And as a commission, we really have to not do that. Anything we do is a ballpark for the county and not somebody's personal vendetta to achieve something. And when you put people in charge of committees who aren't even on the RLDC, you're steering a direction that is improper in my book, and I don't want to see that reoccur.
I'm not sure what you're referring to, but perhaps that's not appropriate to ask.
Yeah, it's just, my point is, I have no issues with this. It's well within the purview of the Planning Commission. It's well in the purview of Ward has something specific that he wants to do, to recommend that that come before the Planning Commission or we hold a workshop or whatever it is. That's what we're here for. That's great. But whatever is done as a county ordinance. When we had this issue with the cell phone ordinance because Williams started it and Williams wanted it to be a Williams ordinance with no towers, no anything. Well, no, it's a county ordinance, so it has to play fair for everybody and it plays the whole county.
Agreed, everything we do here applies to the whole county.
Yeah, just I've seen it twice now where it's been tried to go that way, and I will bring that up ahead of the curve that it's Ward's got great ideas, there's nothing wrong with that, just as long as it's countywide.
Mr. Blood, do you have a comment?
Yes, Commissioner Ockenden's proposal has merit, and what Commissioner Wright has expressed is important. So I think that anything that we would do should be done in coordination with the county commissioners, because we should get buy-in from them and some kind of a sense of what they want to do, rather than go through a process only to find out that the county commissioners are not really interested in the product. So that's my comment.
I think we need to hold maybe a public hearing on this, or a public meeting to invite the public to voice their opinion on what they would like to see done in their county, because they are the people, and we need to hear their voice. And we need to do something. I mean, this is a 911 call to help keep this county together. We really need some desperate help, and I think we need to do it as people, as responsible people of this board. I mean, we need to really put something together and start this right away. And it's perfect time for us. We are doing absolutely nothing on this board. We got time. Let's make it useful, and let's make it prosperous time that we can turn something around in this town, maybe make a positive step forward to bring this county back together. Because if we don't, you can see the writing on the wall. You can see a ghost town here, and I don't like it. I don't feel good about it. So,
I really believe that if we do have ordinances and planning, and the RLDC is stifling business growth, I think we should do something about it. But I'm not sure I know that for a fact. An example would be, and I'm just based on what I read, that the areas of the Upper Willamette Valley and Portland and Salem, and I get up there quite a bit because I used to live there, are doing amazingly well economically compared to Grants Pass. But if you think they don't have ordinances, we don't even begin to have the stifling ordinances that they have. And I'm not sure that's the problem, but I don't know that. I just don't know it. That's my comment.
Ron's going to go first.
Again, you know, the board's, we've tried to do that. That's what the RLCDs, and we, or RLDC, we've done some workshops years ago. We haven't done any in a long time. But anytime any planning commission has, you don't like this ordinance, there's something wrong with it, they can bring it up. But you, I would prefer that it be brought, if it was my choice, say, this is bad. Don't just say it's bad. Say why it's bad. Get some foundation to support why you want to change and bring it to the commission. You don't have to go to the county commissioners to do this. This is something that we can do as CICs and as planning members. So anytime you want to do something, bring it. Have a discussion.
Yeah.
No, this is good.
Commissioner Hockman mentioned about having public comment, and the Land Development Advisory Committee did that and had you know, meetings all over the county for public comment and say what they were concerned about. And this is what, you know, I keep harping on this, but I feel a lot of people's time, valuable time, was wasted, and a lot of effort of people working together to resolve issues was wasted by the Board of Commissioners in tabling the thing, the some of the recommendations after we workshopped them and had hearings here and recommended approval, and just tabled them. And then the other ones that they were supposed to refer to us, that they tabled before even referring to the planning commission hearings, since these were things that did come from the public and were extensively workshopped. I would really like to know what happened to those, and that's something that the Board of County Commissioners would have to be asked.
Mr. Nishimura?
Yeah, that perfectly fits what I was going to recommend. That possibly your request to the commissioners, a report on what happened to these table items before we again spin the wheels and have public hearings, just so we can look at it.
We're starting the whole process over again and then find out what happened.
What happened to it, and what are their thoughts and recommendations to the Planning Commission, if anything, to get some traction on
and a reminder to the board that not all text amendments are approved by the BCC. We have authority to approve some in this commission. So that just depends on what they are.
Does anybody have copies of the reports that the rest of us could look at? Because there's obviously new people, me and this lady, whomever. We'd like to see what it was that was recommended too, just from curiosity's.
Maybe Mr. Lewis could talk with, is Mr. Harrier still the liaison with the commission? And I think that would be a good idea to bring that back to us as some kind of report on what happened. I have a sense that we approved some things, sent them to the county commissioners, and it just, like you say, got tabled. I don't think there was actually any amendments that ever occurred that I remember. Is the rest of the commission kind of?
So.
I mean, we had to, there are all kinds of weird stuff: Deerwinter Range and
roads
and
the
private
roads and the.
I have to look it up.
The article, what was the article? I forget the number, but with the fire.
76.
Yeah.
Fire safety.
Fire.
Maybe it got lost in the. In the shuffle of all the problems they're having regarding funding, which goes eventually back to Mr. Ogden said, we can't get funding for public facilities if we're a dead area. It just doesn't work. I mean, you know, that's a tough call.
I can have a conversation with Commissioner Hare to get an update on.
I think that would be a good start.
What came to the commission? What was tabled? What was the reason? What action do they anticipate that they're amenable to, kicking off again? I was going to cover it in a staff report here later, but I had a a minor text amendment to the code dealing with home occupations that I was hoping to have before the commission in November. By then, election's over with. I think it'd be more likely to get Commissioner Hare to come to the Planning Commission and talk about LDAC and what was done, what was tabled, where you want to go with that in the future, and what, from his point of view, what the commissioners would be supportive of. Happened before my time, but you're probably all aware of the quotes solid waste ordinances and how those went down to a resounding defeat, and that certainly had its impact on the interest of the commissioners in moving forward with any significant changes to you know, regulatory ordinances. So, but post-election, I think we'll know where we're at in terms of stability of the governing structure and you know, what opportunities there may exist to re-examine previous recommendations and look at new recommendations. I want to also endorse what you were saying about, you know, we can do away with regulation entirely here. That does not guarantee you're going to get economic development. I think we need to, as a staff, as a commission, certainly you're, it's an area of concern. It's one where you ought to be reaching out to the economic development organizations like SoReady and any other parties that are involved in either economic recruitment or business retention, business development, and survey to find out, are there regulations that we have in place now that are truly impediments to business startup or business expansion? I can give you an example that Dutch Brothers is underway in the planning of a major expansion in North Valley Industrial Park. We've been actively involved in review of that. They've purchased county land. They've signed water agreements with the City of Grants Pass. That's going to be a very significant addition to the North Valley Industrial Park. They're going through the regulatory process and regulations that we have in place. That doesn't seem to be an impediment to their business aims. So I think it's, we can be very sensitive to what extent are regulations an impediment, but on the flip side of that, just opening up the gates and saying, you know, go for it, doesn't guarantee anything. You really have to look at the drivers of you know, why do businesses want to come to an area, why do businesses want to develop in an area, what's there in the community that they want to associate with. I mean, if you look at what's happened to the whole Josephine County society over a period of time here, you have decline of police services, decline of social services, what's your school system like? These are factors that businesses take a look at and say, is this an attractive area that we want to actually invest in? So regulation, small part. You got to look at the whole picture.
Sure.
I've lived here for 42 years. Okay, that industrial park has been here a long time, and all the things you just mentioned are recent things with the police and the social services. How many businesses have come to the North Valley Industrial Park in the last 30 years? Not that much, or nothing. Some have come, some have gone. So those things that you just mentioned, it's the regulations and the bureaucracy is what's holding it back. When you have to have traffic study upon traffic study, when your neighbor has a traffic study done, and you have to do one right beside him, do the same thing, it's not right. Things have just got out of hand. We have to look at these things. That's why people don't want to come to this town. It's because of the red tape. Businesses go to White City, and they can have a business, a approved in 30 days or 60 days on the building of a building. Here, it's anywhere from 12 months to 3 years before you get a permit to build a building here. I know it. I've been through it. I know the facts here. It's true. That's got to stop. That's why we have nothing coming into this town. If someone wants to put a business in here and start something going, they want to go. They have money in their hand. But they're not going to wait around. We have to change this. And it is the red tape. It is that excessive bureaucracy that we have. It's got to stop. And that's why we have nothing coming in here. That's why the Northbound Industrial Park has zero growth. Nothing going on there. It's got to stop. And the sewer system has nothing to do with the growth not happening right now. It's zero. It's not stopping anything right now. We just don't have people coming to this town. They don't need, you know, we need to do a marketing campaign to bring people here. If you want more taxes, you want a prosperity in your town here, you need to bring people, you need to bring businesses. Businesses will grow this town, will bring prosperity. They'll spend money at the stores. More money they spend, more taxes you have. It all works hand in hand. I came back from Missouri here in a long within the last 2 weeks. Yeah, what a simple place to have a business. There is nothing stopping you. They want growth. I spent some time back there looking, talking to the mayors, talking to the cities. It's pretty amazing. So they will do anything they can to help you. Here, it's not that way. We have to change it. And we have to do it soon. Because I'm telling you what, there's a list of businesses in this town that are closing the doors right now. I know that. It's not good. And I'd like to give you a survey that we can send up to the businesses in this town maybe and ask what their opinion is. Maybe ask them what we can do to help them stay in business. You know, I think it's imperative at this point. And I'm concerned about this because I'm at the forefront. I'm seeing this and hearing it in the phone calls from businesses that want to liquidate. It's a scary thing right now. So that's why I'm really concerned about this. So.
Well, we already came up with one notion, which is the recommendations that pass through us, like the Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel. We've already identified one thing. We said we made it twice as expensive for that request to go through by having us have to review it and then having the commissioners review it. That's one thing where you could say, do we really need to do that? Now, that has nothing to do with the fees associated, the fees the county charges, but it has everything to do with the cost of doing business. If you have to bring in your experts for twice the level of effort.
We have secondary use responsible for taking minutes. Proper procedure should be speakers recognized by the chair and then identifying themselves. So the secretary later on could figure out who was saying what.
I appreciate that. I've been trying to say Mr. Miller and Mr. Rockman. I might have missed that.
I gotcha.
I would appreciate it if you remember. We had a kind of small group here. I'm not sure as a chair where we go from here. I heard some ideas. We know how Mr. Rockman feels. I think Mr. Lewis has heard some of our ideas. I'm not sure that economic development, other than the regulation, is the purview of the Planning Commission. At some point in time, we have to look at the regulations for sure. But anyway, if you have, I think you've made your point there.
I will have the conversation with the chair here and ask him if we can get some response back on what happened and stuff and what the possibilities are.
I for one would like to know whether our regulations are much more onerous than average. I'll tell you what, I saw a lot more onerous regulations up in Portland than I ever have here, so I know what onerous regulations can be. And man, you talk about traffic studies. There were traffic studies on traffic studies on traffic studies. So I don't know if that's our only issue or maybe other things.
Not sure Portland's a good comparison because Portland has an awful lot of advantages that we don't have.
Here. Sure.
We can't attract the kind of businesses that they can attract. Mm-hmm. So we have to do something to compensate for the lack of those advantages that they have.
Mr. Lewis, will you
I think you've been given direction to maybe give us back a report, and particularly in regard to what the commissioners are doing regarding the LEC. Okay.
Are we still
Mr. Richardson, are you
moving around in a circle?
Well, I'm just acknowledging people want to talk, but I think we need to bring this to a close pretty soon.
This is a real quick one. In the population planning, there was a comment that it said that deaths are exceeding births in this county, and the only way that we're growing, and we are growing, is by people moving here from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sets the stage for this one. We just added on a garage, and our contractor obtained the necessary permits and did everything he had to do, and it was a useful process. But in doing this, I talked to a number of people, including Dennis, to find out that it is very common for builders not to get permits, and for people having building work done to say, I don't need no stinking permits, and just move ahead and do this thing. Well, if we have lots of people, if our growth is coming from people moving into this county, we owe them, through their real estate agents or through something, the knowledge that when they buy property here, they have bought permitted buildings, they have bought things that were built according to code. And if we don't have an enforcement arm that's adequate, one, against the builders who are supposed to be licensed, and two, some sort of knowledge of construction that is happening that is unpermitted, we have a countywide problem that is the opposite end of saying y'all come. We owe this to people who show up, and I know from my time on the city council that that was an issue when we were going through the massive growth spurt that we had in 2003, 2004. People were coming here and being really badly burnt, and their real estate agents would say, well, I didn't know, nobody followed through. So that whole issue of once we have these codes of getting them adequately enforced is also an issue.
Mrs. Goodwin?
I would suggest that if we have so many people following their Elizabeth permits, that there's a problem with permit products. I would say, you know, there's got to be reasonable. If the permits were reasonable, then it seems like it would be in the best interest of people to want to get them. But if there are so many people or not, then there's got to be some kind, there's something we need to look at there, because that's a problem. And maybe that's a problem that we can do something about.
I don't believe permits should be free. And the process that I saw happen worked really, really well. It's just that we have this scofflaw approach that says, so what are they going to do? They can't send the police after me. I know that the Parks Department is going now with volunteers who are going out and writing tickets. They got the county's permission to start their kind of their own little enforcement. I'm not recommending that, but that's what's having to happen in order to get people to even pay to use the parks. We're having to do some sort of enforcement action.
Mr. Lewis, you'll be getting us some information back on that.
Okay.
Next item we have on the agenda is comments from the public. Items are not on the agenda, so are there any members of the public who would like to offer a comment on Planning Commission or? Seeing none? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, you did raise your hand. Yes, sir, you'll need to come and give your name and address, please, for the record.
I'm Corey, 2420 Demery Drive. What I see is, look, in the past, there was logging and there was mining. This stayed in this county for a long time. Now it's just getting to be a retirement community, and there isn't much going on for the people. What we see is every time somebody wants to go out and do some mining, there's all this red tape, and they're violating X amount of laws and X amount of cases. That's just like you brought up code enforcement officers. You need to go and look up Supreme Court cases on that, because really they have no standing. And that's one of the things that people need to realize. The it's not only here that they're having problems, it's all across states. And what we'll bring back, you know, just go through and look up the word license in a Black's Law dictionary. And then you'll understand what really is happening. The people used to be free enough to go out and do their logging, do their mining. And every time you have a miner that needs supplies, that just has a domino effect on what is bought. And this county is sitting on a lot of minerals that could be pulled out. But no, the commissioners and other people don't seem to look at things in that direction. Because you can only rape the people so far with taxes and property. And what I'm seeing is this county is just sinking. And that's one of the things that people need to realize, that unless there's a good industry, not only for the young people, but also to make things happen here, it's going to keep going down. You can watch it in almost any town, how many businesses are closing up. Because anytime you have regulations that's so steep that you can't turn around and at least make a little profit, it isn't worth even starting. And that's one of the things that you'll look at, is there's been things brought up to, quote, certain county commissioners, and it seems like it got tabled for so long. And then you go back in the mining industry to the 1866 Granted Rights Act, you'd be surprised what's in there and the laws that are set forth. It actually gave the miners, if they do it right, and this mining could be very done clean. I worked up and through a project next to Yellowstone. You wouldn't even know it was there. And this is one of the things that the minerals in this county can be pulled out, done right, and every domino effect from one miner to the equipment, that would stimulate this county unbelievable. But it would have to be done right. But every time there's a new regulation from a new place, they're going to say, wow, all that does is hinder what we would be doing. And that's one of the things that I see in this county, is they've got to rate Shanghai or tied up to where if they sneeze wrong, you got some enforcement agency or whatever. And understand one thing about all these laws, they're all copyright. Where do you have authority to use them? We'll stand down.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Any other members of the public? Yes, sir. Your name and address, please.
Dan Barkton, 1704 Rounds Avenue, Grants Pass, Oregon. And I've been in a county general building contractor license. And I've been in the county for 25, 30 years, and working here and own properties both in the city and the county. And Ward was saying, that there has been a lot of problems in the past with people trying to develop here. And they haven't been able to for various reasons. I have one associate of mine who wanted to buy property next to mine and build a kind of a unique senior care facility. And he was shut down after several times being kind of led into believing that it was okay to go ahead with the project. And they lost $1.5 million on it. And so comment is that now the city is bringing forth something that's really kind of unique. It's a kind of a turnaround, that they're going to present some new ordinances, some new zoning that will enable people to do things that they haven't been able to do before. And I'm really encouraging that to happen here in the city. And I think that will really open up a lot of possibilities for development here, and that's basically my comment on that.
Perhaps, Mr. Wright, you want to have a question?
Yeah, just for a frame of reference, if you've been here that long, you've done both city and county.
Okay.
Which one has been easier to deal with, the city or the county?
Well, it's kind of a turnaround, because in the past it was the county, and I haven't done a lot of work lately in that county, but the city has been much easier to work with in the past couple of years, and I think that that's kind of a good thing that's happened. The county has traditionally been pretty easy to work with, I think, and I think the building departments is good, and for that reason, I think the county is probably easier to work with in the past, but I don't know about in today's world.
Thank you.
So, thanks.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
Yeah.
I think that's all the public we have here. So I guess we will move on to the planning director's report.
Just a couple of things here. Some of you are probably aware of the Gardening Treehouse project down there in the Tacoma Valley. If we want to talk about lack of regulation or lack of compliance with regulation, this is your case history here for that. Mr. Garnier began the development back, I think, in 1996 without any review from land use or building, and built some buildings down there, and then basically after the fact was forced into coming in and getting approvals, got a home occupation approval for a lodge and four tree houses, and that made him official at that point. But then he went on to build another 10 tree houses without any approval at all. There was a personal injury that occurred on the property there. Two people fell from a fairly significant height there, and they're both permanently injured, and they filed suit. The county was named as a party in that. The county insurance fund lost $2 million on that. The county legal department has a pending lawsuit that was suspended. There was a compliance agreement was entered into that Mr. Garnier is represented now by an attorney, and they agreed to go through our process. So, long way of saying, I issued a decision on that on Friday. Hopefully that brings about at least land use legality. It can now move on to building safety, where it's the responsibility of the building official to try to figure out, are these structures safe for human habitations, human use, and if he's able to make that determination, then hopefully the county's liability and all of this ends. There are some good reasons to have regulations. Public safety is one of them, and I think this is the case that shows that there's good reason for having regulation. Whether or not having established the format now for a land use approval, whether that results in a flourishing of treehouse building in the Tacoma Valley, we will not know. I had somebody from Economic Development in talking to me a couple of weeks ago there, that was sort of the vision that once we got this land use formula all figured out and how this can all happen, you know, in compliance with regulations, that this is great economic development for the Illinois Valley. We'll see. Another regulatory thing, Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel, the findings the board, as you are probably all aware, made an affirmative decision approving the mining operation there. We're now in the final stages here. The decision has been reduced to a findings document. The board will review that findings document in this meeting room here Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Hopefully they will adopt the findings document, and then we enter into an appeal period. It's anticipated that it will be appealed to LUBA, but potentially it might not. And then we go into a different phase where they still have approvals to receive for their water rights and mining plan with Dogami, and it's going to keep on going. I mentioned, I think, a little bit ago there that I have some hopes that there's some minor amendments to our home occupation ordinance in the code that needs some adjustment there, and I was hoping that we could bring that to the commission in November. We'll see. Pilot project, I'm not sure how much the Planning Commission knows about this Southern Oregon Regional Pilot Project that's been underway for a couple of years here. This was money that was allocated from the state legislature so the three counties of Douglas, Jackson, and Josephine could look at our basic division between resource lands and non-resource lands and answer the question that's been out there on people's minds for quite some time that we have too much of Josephine County locked up in resource designated lands and not enough in non-resource lands. We are, I think, coming to somewhat of a conclusion on some GIS mapping work, analysis work that will generate some information that we should probably be bringing to the Planning Commission and going with our Technical Advisory Committee and potentially holding some hearings on to figure out are there some changes that we could be making to our comprehensive plan that would release some of the resource designated lands into non-resource lands. The drop dead date for that project is it has to be done by May 29th of 2015. I think we're on target to accomplish that deadline, but accomplishment means basically coming up with a report that we submit to DLCD. It doesn't change anything automatically. It still has to go through DLCD review and approval, and they decide whether or not we've come up with justification for making any changes to our comprehensive plan and our split between resource and non-resource lands. But I think we've made good progress. I think the results in the three counties will be different. Douglas County is probably looking at releasing a lot more land to non-resource use than either Jackson or Josephine. Well, they've got a much larger land base to work with. We're the smallest of the three counties. So anyway, that's kind of a quick thumbnail of what's happening in the planning department right now. And you've given us a task to bring back some information from the commissioners to sort out what happened to LDAC and what can be done to, you know, reopen topics there. And to the extent that I'm able, I will also ask Commissioner Hare to address issues relating to economic development, although that's not his liaison responsibility. I think that's Commissioner Walker's responsibility to see what the county may be doing in those lines.
Mr. Ackerman? Can we get some matching funds or some funds for the pilot program? What kind of funds?
Oh, it's all entirely state funds. It's not none of the county funds. It's been paid entirely by state grant.
And isn't that a substantial amount of money coming in for that? Is it pretty good?
It is. Our funds, since we our geographic information system (GIS) function with the county was allowed to basically become non-operational. We've contracted with Jackson County Planning Department to provide our GIS mapping services and analytics service. So we have an intergovernmental contract with Jackson County. That's where we're spending a chunk of our money, but some of the money is money that can support our own staff that's working on the project there. So it's not something that's funded directly by the county. It's state money that's allocated to the counties by formality.
Yeah, because isn't there a date? If we don't do it, then we lose that money, so we got to be careful about that, don't we?
Yeah, we have to be done with the project, expended the funds by May 29th.
Because
I was talking to the plans up in Douglas County a little bit ago, and they're almost all done with it, so they're ready to go.
They've proceeded much faster than these two counties, and we've been the slowest because we haven't had the staff, and we've been dependent upon Jackson County to do our work, most of our work for us. But we just had a three-county meeting last week with the commissioner from each of the counties and planning director from each of the counties, and reviewed where we're at, and we're all agreement on a work schedule to get things completed, and are feeling very comfortable that we can get it done and not just expend the funds, but actually produce a report that should result in answering some of the questions about whether or not there's some lands that can be, I wouldn't say unlocked, but at least changed from one category to another, and increase opportunities for some rural development.
Thank you. No further questions? Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing that is the end of our agenda, I hereby declare that the meeting this evening is adjourned.
Can I make a post-adjournment announcement?
Oh, sure.
The Barnstormer Theater is producing an event starting on October 24th. And I'm glad we did that, so everybody should
know. I've seen the things. I'll look forward to seeing it. That will be